some words from Romans chapter 4. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are those whose sin the Lord will never count against them. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? The Lord will never count our sins against us. And we're blessed this morning to know that. Now, this morning, we're actually beginning something a bit different, a bit new. We're beginning a series. Let's see if this is going to work. Am I pointing that way, Jason? Am I pointing to you with my clicker? Yeah, there we go. Good news for all the people. We're thinking about good news for all the people. And it's a series where we're going to look at the different people in the Christmas story and how the coming of Christ is good for them all. So among others, we'll be thinking about teenagers and their boyfriends or fiancés. Probably recognize who they are. We're going to be thinking about movers and shakers, people like Caesar Augustus and Quirinius, people who had a big role in international relations. We're going to be thinking about how Jesus is good news for the low paid. We'll be thinking about how Jesus is actually good news for some really horrible people. Like, there's King Herod. You probably recognize that's King Herod, or a king at least, but for the cruel and corrupt. We'll be thinking about how Jesus is good news for the older folks. Do you recognize them? Does anyone know who they are? It's not your grandparents. Does anyone know who that could be? Anna and Simeon in the temple. So we're thinking about them. And we'll be thinking about how Jesus is good news for folk from overseas. Sure, you know who the three wise men. That's right, the magi. So we'll be thinking about all those different people and how the birth of Jesus is good news for all of them in one way or another. And how no one's left out or missed out by the coming of Jesus at Christmas. Jesus comes with something for everyone. And I wonder, just stop and think for a second this morning about who you are and who you live with and who's in your family and what your boss at work's like and what your neighbours are like, and think of the people running the country or your local council and how good and Jesus is for all of them, and he's good news for all of them. And so I want to say, why not invite those different people who might fall into one or two of those categories? I'm sure they're not cruel and corrupt. Well, who knows? But why not invite them to some of these services that are coming up this Advent and December? So that's what we'll be finding out. But this morning, we're not even going to be thinking about any of those people at all. We're not going to think about any of those people. We're not even going to start with people. Oh, there we go. We're not even going to start with people. Who could we be starting with? We're not even going to start with animals. You might think, it could be sheep, it could be donkeys or cattle or something like that. Well, it's not even the sheep or the donkeys. And it's not the baby Jesus either. But here's your clue, what we're thinking about this morning, okay? Here's your clue. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Can anyone remember who said that? Who said that? Oh, Christine's sharp this morning. What's that? Angel. And the angel said that. Huh? Well, you're particularly sharp this morning. Yeah, it was the angel, wasn't it? The angel said that to the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born. And we're going to spend this morning thinking about angels. We think about angels. Think about angels, the ones who came with this great message. And I'm sure you've probably noticed we've had a lot about angels already in this service. If you were carefully thinking about some of the words we've said, that psalm that we read out right at the beginning. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. So we had that, didn't we? And then we sang about angels as well. That was just one of them. Praise him, you angels and heavenly hosts. Let the whole earth praise him. So for a second, what I want you to do is turn to the person next to you or nearest to you and discuss with them, what's your reaction when people talk about angels? Okay? What's your reaction when people talk about angels? What do you think? Or what do you think of? So just a couple of minutes, just discuss with the person next to you. What's your reaction when people talk about angels? Okay, maybe it's time to get some feedback. What does anyone want to share? What's your reaction when people talk about angels? Or what do you think of? You can answer any of those. What do you think when people talk about angels? There's no, well, maybe there is a right answer, but what do you think? Pardon me? They bring us good news. Yeah, thank you, thank you. Yeah?
There's a lot of belief in angels, but sometimes for just in angels as comfort.
Angels as comfort.
Not necessarily as part of a
yeah.
belief.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, okay. So you don't have to be religious or be particularly believe in a faith or religion, but you might have this idea that there are angels out there taking care of people, yeah? Bob? Okay, thanks. They protect us, yeah? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So stories about people who've suddenly had help from someone they've never seen again. We'll come back to that a bit later. Yeah, thanks, Simon. Madison? They always what?
Light.
They light the way. Interesting. Yeah, thank you. They light the angels that light the way. That's not one I've really heard of so much, but that's great. Anyone else burning to say something about angels? John is. Oh, we've got a couple. John first.
I think you can meet an angel without realizing you've met one.
Meet an angel without realizing you met one? Makes you think of people we've lost. Thank you. Thanks very much. Yeah, some you might have that sort of idea about angels, yeah? Right. A lot of people, when they think about angels, they think of something like this, don't they? We're going to just think... That's how kind of people generally will think of angels in the sort of culturally, won't they? They'll think that they're very sweet and white and they've got long dresses and they have a little halo and they're playing a harp and they're all beautiful. All we need now is a cloud, don't we? A little cloud. But that's what we sometimes think. And I must confess that we, like many other parents, have dressed our children up that way, haven't we? A lot of people think that angels don't exist at all. A lot of people think they don't exist at all, and that they're a kind of leftover from a superstitious age. I remember as a teenager, and I remember reading the Bible and thinking, this is absolute nonsense. How can this be true? Angels? What's that about? I thought, I'm 15. I know much better than this. I know that the world is made up of things that I can see. And that's it. Have I got a slide? Yeah. Ridiculous, superstitious nonsense. That's what some people think of angels. So that's a range of thinking, isn't there, about angels. But do you know what? The Bible tells us that God created a realm that we can't normally see. He created not just the earth, the visible creation, but the heavenly realms, the invisible creation, a part of reality that we can't see. And do you remember, we've done Colossians recently in church, and in Colossians it says, do you remember this from Colossians 1? For by him, by Jesus the Son of God, all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And angels are part of that invisible creation. Some people think of angels that they must be eternal. They must be as old as God. But that's not true, actually. That's not true. They're creatures, aren't they? Created by the Lord Jesus. Some people think they must be dead people who become angels, but that's not true either. They're a different kind of creature in their own right. Now, I want to just tell us all a story this morning that it's from the Bible, and it's a story that tells us about the surprising presence of angels, and it's from the Old Testament, and you may know it, some of you, it's from the Old Testament. It's about a time when the city of Dothan got surrounded by a great big army from the king of Aram. This army came from the king of Aram. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, and surrounded the city of Dothan. And if you want to know why the king of Aram sent the army to surround the city, you'll have to read 2 Kings 6. But the city was surrounded, okay? And they'd come to capture the prophet Elisha. I wonder if I've got it. Okay, they come to capture the prophet Elisha, who's got a servant, okay, with him. And this is what happens. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord," he said to Elisha. "What shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet Elisha answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wow, that's an incredible story. So there was this realm of reality that the servant couldn't see, and for that moment, that time, the servant was enabled to see what was going on that's normally hidden from sight. And all around them, this huge angelic army, much bigger than what we've just got there, that's just a couple of chariots and horses and that kind of thing. All around them, this angelic army standing guard there to protect. And that story's really good in a couple of ways for us, isn't it? A really good story, because it corrects our thinking about angels a little bit. Because they're not the cute, kind of cuddly, fluffy, with the harps sort of angels. They're more like an army of warriors ready for battle. They're like bodyguards, their protection, if anything. And the second thing is it tells us that angels are there around us all the time, and especially around God's people in need. And God could command them to step in at any moment to protect his people or help them. He might not, but he certainly can. Now, I know two people, I think Simon referred to this, where people have got stories of angels actually coming to help them. And I've got two stories about that I just want to share this morning. One of them involves boiled sweets. It actually involves my dad as well. My dad was on a journey when he was 3 or 4 in the car. It's before you had seatbelts and all that kind of thing. And they were passing around boiled sweets, and my dad had a boiled sweet in his mouth, and he swallowed it, and he started choking. And they couldn't get it out, and so they stopped the car, pulled the car over, and everyone was getting quite panicky, as you can imagine. They couldn't get this boiled sweet out of his throat, and eventually they started praying. My grandparents started praying for God to do a miracle. And almost immediately, a man appeared, and this man appeared, and he said, "I'm a doctor." And just like that, he got the sweet out. Don't think anyone can really remember how. And then before another thing happened, the man had gone. Just like that. And when you think about the situation, it's the kind of thing where you expect a person who's helped out in that way to stand and ask, you know, to stay there and ask, well, what's happened? And for them to express their thanks to this person. But they couldn't, because he'd gone. So that was an amazing one. And my grandmother, still to this day, believes that was an angel. The other story I just want to share is a friend of mine called Mike that he told me. And Mike's not the sort of person to make something up. He's a well-known, best-selling Christian author, actually. And they live down a dark lane, and it's quite hard to see the driveway to their house from the main road. And his wife, Bethan, had a friend who was coming to visit them. And this friend had never been to visit before. And when the friend arrived, Beth asked her, did you find the house okay? And the friend said, yeah, it was fine, thanks. It was really easy because Mike was standing at the top of the driveway and he waved me in. And Beth then said, but Mike's in America. Mike's in America. So my friend Mike says he's sure that must have been an angel and that he's increasingly aware of the ministry of angels all around us. And the wonderful thing is the Bible tells us, oh, there we go, that angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. So one day you might be in need. You might be in real urgent need. Don't call out to angels, but call out to the Lord God. And you never know how he'll help you, but maybe he'll send an angel, maybe even 1,000 angels to help you. What we do know is that if we ever feel like we're in the minority, and we can feel that way, can't we? We can feel like we're in the minority at school if we are Christians. We can feel like we're in the minority at work. We can feel like we're in the minority when perhaps even in family situations. But don't forget Elisha's words. Oh, got the wrong way now. Oh, what's that? What am I doing? Don't forget Elisha's words. That's all I want to say. He says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. We're always in the majority. We may not feel like it, but the Lord's angels are all around, just out of sight. Right, we're going to sing, most of us, but I'm wondering whether, just pull this table out. We've got words up? Oh, well, that's great. There you go. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Fantastic. What we've got here are some angels. Unfortunately, I could only find quite cute angels. But if any of the children would like to come and scratch out the angels, you can make them really colourful with these little yellow scrapers. So if you want to come forward and do one of those, while the rest of us stand, and we're going to sing an old hymn called Angel Voices Ever Singing. Congregation like to sit down, and we'll just find out how it's going here with our angels. Some of you are being extremely precise and accurate in your scraping. Fantastic looking angels. What I think we're going to do is, when you're ready, would you like to hang them around the church so we get this sense that there are angels that we can see these ones, but there are angels around that we may not be able to see right now. But yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? So when you've done one, when you're happy with it, don't take too long. It's all right. It's all right. This is turning into quite a kind of an art, quite a profession almost, isn't it? A skill. But in the meantime, what I'll do is I'll ask Paul if he'll come forward. And would you read to us, Paul? We're going to have a reading from Luke. Thanks.
So we read from Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, thanks, Paul. Some fantastic angels here. I wonder, can we hang them up just for now, and then you can collect them again at the end. Would that be possible when you can finish scraping your pattern? How would you describe your pattern there, Max?
Terrible.
Go on.
Terrible.
What are you actually aiming at with that angel?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure? That's a terrifying angel, that one.
Yes.
Anyway. Right, well, I don't know how that reading made you feel. Didn't it make you feel like it's quite Christmassy in a way? I think it made you feel quite Christmassy. It is early to be talking about Christmas, really. Are we good to go, Jason, yet? But Christmas does start early for people who've got a job to do, doesn't it? The postmen are going to be very busy for the next month because they'll have all these deliveries to bring. Oh, where are we? Can we go back a bit? Did I do that? Right, there we go. The postmen are going to be very busy. Nowadays, you get lots of delivery drivers delivering things. Yesterday, we got an Aldi catalogue, and we saw this picture of this family dressed as elves. And it made me think, they were probably posing for that in June or July, weren't they? The photos were all being taken. So Christmas starts early for those with a job to do. And angels, too. For the angels, it started incredibly early because they had a job to do. Their job was to announce the news. The word angel, if you didn't know this, means messenger or sent one. It means messenger. So they're sent from God with messages. They're there to tell news. And that's why we sing about the herald angels. Hark, the herald angels. Because a herald is someone who brings news, isn't he? And let's just have a look at this sort of timeline then. So more than a year before Jesus was born, an angel... That's a noisy, squeaky angel, that one is. That's it. Gentle scraping. Gentle. Madison, that's a very, very, very nice angel you've done there. Fantastic. But back to this. More than a year before Jesus was born, an angel called Gabriel brought news to a man called Zechariah. The message was that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby, and it would be a miracle because Elizabeth was barren and she was old and had never had a child. But her baby would be John the Baptist, I'm sure we all know that. And John would be really important because John would prepare the way for Jesus, awaking the people of Israel to the coming of the Lord. So that was a year, more than a year before. He got started very early, and he was busy because 9 months before the first Christmas, he visited Mary, didn't he? And I think I've got the reading there. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so she's 6 months in, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And the angel still wasn't done, because then he had to go and meet Joseph as well. We don't know quite when, because it says shortly afterwards. So maybe 8 months, who knows? 8 months for first Christmas, I don't know. But maybe Joseph was a kind of sleepy kind of a guy, I don't know. Or maybe he would have been shocked had the angel come to him during the day, because we find out in Matthew that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, we're going to think more about Mary and Joseph next week. But Joseph must have been a kind of good lad, because Matthew tells us that when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. So the angels really are involved a lot at Christmas, and they start early because their job is to bring these important messages from God about the birth of Jesus. And What is going on here? This is the, these are the squeakiest angels. And I thought this would be a simple choir activity. Goodness me. Goodness me. This church is not like a library, Madison, I can assure you. That's it. Great. Well, where were we? We were talking about... That's right. Let's just think about how happy these angels seem. A bit like you lot. Very happy. These angels seem very happy. They're happy to share the message. Because, actually, only one angel was really necessary, wasn't it? Only one angel was necessary to tell the shepherds. But they all seem to want to come out and be part of the news and share the moment. They're happy for human beings. And I want to just sort of stop and think about this, because I think they're happy for human beings because they've watched, angels have watched for thousands of years about what human beings have done. And they've seen the misery that it's caused us to turn away from God. The misery of human life as sinners. They know how some of, maybe they even know how some of the company of angels were part of bringing us down, and that there's some angelic responsibility for what's gone wrong in the world. If you know the story of the fall in Genesis 3 and how Satan persuaded Adam and Eve to take the fruit. And maybe these angels are now just so glad that there's a solution. They're so glad the Lord is coming to the rescue of these people. And they realize this is it, people. They realize this is it, people. This is your moment. Go and enjoy it. Go and see. Go and take in that he's for you and he's going to change everything. He's going to save you, people, and he's going to restore your dignity and lift you up and show you a better way to live now and not just what the present can be like, but what a bright future God has for you. So they love, these angels love to see people receive salvation, be brought back to God. And I'd encourage the adults and the children to go home and read Revelation 7. If you want to note it down, Revelation 7, 9 to 12, and how the angels respond as they see the mass of humanity praising God in heaven, right at the end of time. The angels call out in praise of God when they see what God has done for us. But it makes us stop and think just for a second, doesn't it? If they're excited, if the angels are excited, what about us? It's not even their salvation, and they're excited. And if they're excited and it's not even about them, what about us? Shouldn't we be more excited than them since Christ's come for us and for our salvation? But perhaps, here's a little thought, perhaps they weren't just happy for themselves, for us, sorry, perhaps they're also happy for themselves too, because in a strange way, this is going to be a special moment for them too. The Bible tells us that angels learn about God through the things God does for people. They discover his goodness. They don't know everything. They learn from watching God's wonderful acts on behalf of human beings and God's plan for human beings. So this is going to be a big time of learning for the angels. They're excited to see what happened. What's going to happen now as Jesus grows up and performs his miracles and reaches out to a lost humanity. They're going to watch and learn. So the angels were heralds, messengers, announcing the good news of that first Christmas. And 2,000 years on, it's unlikely that an angel is going to show up and tell our neighbours and our friends and our family about Christmas. It is going to be down to us. So are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? Will we do it joyfully, cheerfully, knowing what it means to us? I hope we will. We have promised there'll be some publicity available about our Christmas services. I don't think it's been delivered, but hopefully it will be this week, and we can, we can be an angel to someone, can't we? We can be an angel to someone by giving them an invitation. As we close, right, we're almost done. And this is kind of for you, Kit, you guys as well. Have a think about this. As we close, some of us might be thinking, we've never seen an angel before. Have any of you seen an angel before?
No.
No, right? So you might be thinking, you've never seen an angel before. But I want to say to us all, don't worry. One day, One day you will. You are going to see an angel one day, definitely. Next Sunday is Advent Sunday. I'm not promising you're going to see one next Sunday. I mean, I want you to come, but I'm not going to make promises I can't keep. But Advent has always been about two things, hasn't it? Advent's always been about two things. It's been a countdown to Christmas and the coming of Jesus as a baby. And it's been a reminder, always, that we're counting down and looking forward to the second coming of Jesus, his return. And do you know what? The Bible tells us that that is when we will definitely see angels. We are definitely going to see angels when Jesus comes again. All the hidden things will be revealed. All the things we don't see, we will see. God the Father, we're going to see God the Father. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the people who've gone before us and the angels. And I don't know how you're counting down through Advent. Some of us use candles like this one to count down. But for the children, they're so into their... I might as well hand these out to the adults. We've got these countdown calendars. Who'd like one? Who'd like one of these? They've got chocolate in. They tell the story. Pat, you can have one. You can have one. Of course you can. Christine. The children don't really want them. Lorna, there you go. Enjoy their chocolate. But more than the chocolate, they tell the story, don't they? They tell the story that counts down to Christmas. Baby Bee should have one. She sat so well, hasn't she? Where is Baby Bee? Baby Bee, there's one for you. There you go. And that helps you count down to Christmas. But as we count down to Christmas, let's also remember that we're counting down to the return of Jesus and to the coming of the angels with the Lord Jesus.